Sometimes it takes a social movement to change the world. And sometimes, all it takes is a song. Amazing Grace changed the world. The Marseillaise changed the world. And so did the revolutionary anti-lynching song Strange Fruit. It's the title of David Margalek's History of the Song he calls an early cry for civil rights. He says Billie Holiday sang it for the first time in 1939 at New York's liberal nightclub, Café Society.
There was this moment of silence when she was finished, one of these moments which probably lasted only a second or two but seemed much longer, during which she had enough time to wonder whether she'd made a terrible mistake by singing this song, a song unlike any that had ever been sung before, really. And then, finally, one person started to applaud, and the whole house started to applaud. And it was only at that point that she realized that she'd done the right thing by broaching this song and performing it.
You know, I think in a way that's what happens to everybody who listens to her sing it, too. There's a sense of the beauty, of the perfect pairing of Holiday's voice and the song. And then you begin to realize what it is she's singing. And it's as though you don't know what to do.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, on the one hand, when you realize what the song is about, you don't know for a split second whether applause is even appropriate. You know, you've just witnessed a lynching, and you don't know what the appropriate response is.
Yeah.
And I think that this must have been particularly arresting when she first sang it and before the song was well known. But I can attest from personal experience to the fact that the song still has that effect. It still stops people cold.
Southern trees bear strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree.
It's powerful stuff, isn't it?
It was powerful as a poem, but once it was set to music, I mean, this was unlike any lyric that had come before it.
You know, it's not something that you would expect to be sung. It isn't, in fact, a poem that you almost need to see on the page so you can keep your distance from it and absorb it. It's a strange thing that it began to be sung.
Well, I think that the fellow who wrote it, Abel Meeropol, must have known that he was on to something. He wrote it under the name Lewis Allen, but Abel Meeropol, who was a school teacher in the Bronx, a social activist, known undoubtedly to many of our listeners here as the person who, with his wife, Anne Meeropol, adopted the two Rosenberg children, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg's two sons. But he was a very accomplished songwriter. He had seen a picture of a lynching in a magazine, and this is what moved him to write the song.
Now, that goes against what most of us think. Aren't there some versions of this story out there that say that Strange Fruit was written just for Billie Holiday or that she was involved in writing it?
Well, this was a story, in fact, that she perpetuated.
And now I'd like to sing a tune. It was written especially for me. It's titled Strange Fruit. I do hope you like it.
I mean, she talked about either having written the song or having had it written for her. And I think that the story was plausible because she became so associated with the song that people thought it had to have been done for or by her. But in fact, it came to her. It came to her later on after it had been in circulation for a couple of years.
But not everybody thought this song was worth fighting for. I read in your book that a couple of people, including her mother, didn't want her to sing it, thought later on that it ruined her life.
Well, there were many people who thought that. I mean, other people, her producer and the man who discovered her, arguably, John Hammond, was opposed to her singing the song. He thought that it marked a turn in her career and a turn for the worse, that she got very heavy and sort of mournful, and it took the bounce and buoyancy out of her music. Her music was never the same after that, you know. And he seemed to think that when jazz singers, you know, became heavy like that, they lost something.
Well, in fact, that's worth talking about, because while it has never become a standard that a lot of people have sung, other people have recorded it, quite a few by now, but nobody seems to sing it quite the way she did.
She was the only one, almost the only one for many years, who had the guts to sing it, and she put her stamp on it to such a complete degree that many people were really afraid to touch it for a long time.
Pastoral scene of the gallant south, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh.
The folk singer Josh White sang it around the time that Billie Holiday did. There's a story in the book, in fact, about Billie coming into his dressing room one night with a knife, brandishing a knife and saying, you know, stop singing my song. So she also discouraged people from singing it. She wasn't happy about other people doing it. But in fact, it wasn't that much of a problem, because it was material that was just, first of all, it was so closely linked to her. And second, it was dangerous to sing. It was unpopular. People felt very threatened by it, even in friendly environments.
Well, it was also the kind of thing that you sort of had to sing last. I mean, what could you sing after this, too?
Well, that was part of her routine, in fact. Barney Josephson decreed these very elaborate stage directions for her. I mean, this was his idea as much as it was hers. He said that he wanted audiences to get their insides burned out by it, was the phrase that he used. And so it was always the last song that she sang. She never did any encores afterwards. All the lights in the club would go down. All the service would stop. There's even one story I heard about waiters going around and confiscating cigarettes before she would actually start to perform the song. Everything would just come to a complete halt. There'd be one little pinpoint of light shining on her, and when it was over, the lights would go down, and when they came up again, she'd be gone, and that was it.
Well, again, hard for others to do, but in fact, there are a number of others who've sung it. The jazz singer Cassandra Wilson is one of the people you talk to. What was her reaction to Strange Fruit?
I thought her reaction was very interesting and very sensitive. She's someone who comes from the South. She grew up knowing the song, but having a very healthy respect for it, for the song, for the material, and for the singer, for Billie Holiday. And she told me that, in a sense, she knew that she had a rendezvous with this song. She knew that at some point she would sing it, but she had to get good and ready to sing it. She felt that she would do it, but only at the right time. And when she did it, she had to put her own stamp on it. She couldn't just imitate Billie Holiday, which was a foolish thing even to attempt. And so she sings, in fact, a very different version of it, a very sort of a darker, smokier, more impressionistic version of it.
Southern trees bear a strange blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging.
There was a recording, I think, of Sidney Bechet playing it without the lyrics, but it's as though you can hear them while he's playing.
Yeah, that's right. And even I'm told that even that version was difficult for him to release, you know, that it was difficult to get that song, recorded for him. I mean, the song was that sensitive.
How important The strange fruit, do you think? Did it change anything? Did it contribute to social change? Did it make people think differently about what was happening in the world?
I think its effect grew over time. It sold well, but it was kind of a cult song. I mean, it wasn't something on the Lucky Strike hit parade, but it was the kind of song that left an indelible mark on people who heard it, particularly young people who heard it. I think that it, in a sense, awakened the social consciousness in many, many people who heard it when they were young, who sang it when they were young, and also when there were still all sorts of taboos. I mean, nowadays, I think it's probably very hard to shock anybody with a song. Almost nothing is beyond the pale. And here you were confronting something that literally wasn't spoken about, and you were doing it, you know, in a medium through music that was bound to call attention to it. And the person who was doing it was a 24-year-old black woman in a nightclub in New York, a 24-year-old woman. The whole thing is really pretty extraordinary.
Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for the tree to drop. Here is a strange and bitter crop.
David Margalek is the author of the book, Strange Fruit,